Into Germany, the business podcast from the heart of Europe. The sound of space travel, at least of the sort many people have thought of since the moon landings half a century ago. Once upon a time, space was the exclusive domain of national superpowers with massive military power and huge state budgets. But of course, a lot has changed since then. Today's new space race is also about startups, pitch decks, and venture capital. That's creating enormous opportunities for players that weren't at the vanguard in the past, including in Europe's largest economy. Young German-based companies are building carrier rockets and launching satellites, turning Earth's orbit into the next growth market and making space more accessible. And that's where we'll be going this time round with this episode of Into Germany. Welcome, I'm your host, Kelly O'Brien. Germany has identified space as a serious business priority. The global sector is booming, currently valued at a record volume of around $630 billion. 80% of that is commercial share. According to a McKinsey study, the space-based economy could reach $1.8 trillion in 2035. Two of the international companies driving this trend in Germany are Planet Labs from the US and the German-French firm, the Exploration Company, or TEC. We'll meet them shortly. But let's start with more of an overview from Anke Pagels Kerp. She's a divisional board member for space at the German Aerospace Center. As it's known in German, the Deutsche Zentrum für Luft- und Raumfahrt, or DLR, conducts research and development on behalf of the German government. It's the biggest aerospace research institution in Europe, with more than 12,000 employees. Hello, Anke. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Everyone is talking about new space. What distinguishes the new era of space exploration from the traditional one?
There are many different ways to define new space. First of all, it's just the wording to describe new approaches from common ones. So 30 years ago, the old space industry, so old space, used the same approaches before the whole system and processes became more and more complex. Now, new companies, young researchers ask themselves, can we become much faster with shorter processes? We have many exciting projects at DLR. So, for example, we build up the Edifix rover for the Japanese MMX mission to the Martian moon. And we built this rover together with CNES in a very short time frame. So from the idea of the building, I think it takes a little bit more than 2.5 years. And that was very fast. That means also we decide not to test and test and test, just to take the risk. So we can do also things very fast.
The CNES, or CNES, is the French space agency, the equivalent of the DLR. So how is Germany positioning itself within this new space movement? What are your main priorities?
We have lots of new space companies in Germany, from the satellite manufacturing to the Earth observation to programming of applications. And DLR is not a company. And with this in mind, we are a little bit out of this business. The research part of these companies is just a small part of their business case. But the research part at DLR is our biggest part. So we explore, for example, new and uncommon sensors in the same way as before, but we push the colleagues to bring them into orbit, not with a super heavy all-you-can-do satellite, but with smaller and faster approach.
Where do you see the biggest opportunity for innovation?
I think quantum sensors and the Earth observation to have a totally new resolution in Earth observation, new propulsion systems, green propulsion systems, new kind of satellites, for example, in the very low Earth orbit. Usually the satellites are in the low Earth orbit, so from 400 kilometers and above, to the geostationary orbits, for example, at 36,000 kilometers. But the very low Earth orbit will be the new area of satellites in the upcoming years. So between 150 and 300 kilometers, especially for Earth observation.
You mentioned something called Edifix. Please tell us more.
Edifix rover is one of our main projects this year. The launch will be at the end of this year from the Japanese launch pad. So this is related to new space. We develop new sensors, quantum sensors, for example, for Earth observation. The idea is to bring this sensor technologies very fast into the market. So we have to work very close with companies. But as I said, we are not the company to bring them into market. So we have to work very closely with new space companies.
So let's get a bit more specific. How does the German government support the new space sector?
Germany has different funding schemes through the German Space Agency, but also other programs from the Ministry of Economy. Germany had in the past competitions for micro launcher and small satellites to make the entrance to the market easier for the companies. And DLR is collaborating closely with some of these companies, but at DLR we have also the possibility to bring our research into the market with our own startups. So for example, ISP Tech is a new space startup for propulsion systems. And this is a startup from our institute in Lampolshausen for propulsion systems. And I think for companies, the most common funding scheme is through the agency. So they can apply for funding. So the idea is to cover the financial risk in the early stages.
Remember the name ISP Tech. It's another hotly tipped German startup. What do you see as the best ways for the public and private sector to work together to speed up innovation?
We are not a competitor to the industry. So we want to transfer our solutions into the market. And for this, we need collaboration. We develop our ideas up to a demonstrator level. But for small series and other production lines, the industry should step in and take it over. The best thing for collaboration is if you have the same goal and want to reach it as a team. So if you want to earn money independently of the result, the flying satellite or the project will fail. We have a very good collaboration, for example, with companies in New Zealand. So we are responsible for the research part and the industry is responsible for bringing it into the market. But this is without exchanging of funds. So everybody is responsible just for their own part. And at the end, we put it together.
Let's say I have a new space company and I'm looking to expand internationally. Why Germany?
As I said before, we have the German Space Agency as a very big funding agency. Germany is the biggest funding partner for ESA. So we get lots of contracts from ESA. We have great universities, research institutions and companies in Germany, and the engineers are very, very well educated. And the distances are short, also the transport routes. So if you compare it to the US or to Canada, it's very easy to go from Hamburg to Munich in Germany because it's a small country.
What are the space hotspots in the country at present?
We have a very big new space cluster around Berlin, this company built up satellites. Also the region around Oberpfaffenhofen. So usually companies grow in the area of, for example, next to old space big companies, or in the case of Oberpfaffenhofen, next to DLR. I think Ulm can be the next hotspot for quantum sensors, and hopefully also Cologne with our Cologne Space Hub, together with Starlab and, for example, Axioms. I think the infrastructure in this area is very good, and we have very good universities. We have the place to build factories. We have research institutions in this area, and I think Cologne with the Rhine, with the highways and the airports is a very good area to raise a new space hub in Germany.
So can Germany or even Europe really compete against the US and China in this field?
I think we have to preserve and strengthen the things we can do very well. We have to find our gaps, and I think we can copy processes if they work well and do not look for the gold standard. Sometimes I heard it during the last years many times that we want to be the world's best. I think in these times, becoming resilient is more necessary than be the world's best in something.
Thank you, Anke. Resilience is certainly one of the key issues in business success these days. No one wants to be over-dependent on something or someone out of their control for crucial services. That's another major driver of the new space sector in Germany, as we'll hear in a minute from Martin Porlak, whose company Planet Labs is launching a major German expansion. But before that, let's have a brief German business news roundup. Less was more. 8.4 billion euros. That's how much startups in Germany received in venture capital investment in 2025. That's 20% more than in 2024, the third highest sum ever, and a clear indication that the sector is returning to the vitality of pre-COVID years. The number of deals, though, actually went down. The trend is clear. Investors in German startups are more likely to target their money than spray it around. Dynamic Duo. And two innovative German-based startups did in fact land big deals in early 2026. Berlin-based Paloa took in $350 million in Series D funding. The AI agent tripled its worth within only 8 months. And O'Sapiens from the southwestern German city of Mannheim concluded a $100 million Series C round. That made the company Germany's most recent unicorn. Games Germans play. A new government report on the gaming sector presents a healthy picture of Germany's gaming industry. The number of gaming companies nearly doubled over the past 5 years. More than 1,000 gaming firms currently operate in Germany, and annual turnover has risen 22%, reaching 3.73 billion euros. Clean energy record. Renewables accounted for almost 56% of electricity consumed in Germany last year. That was more than ever before, and an 11% annual rise. Construction on new facilities for generating renewable power continues at pace. The transition is being driven by solar and offshore wind power. And finally, big boost. In its first round of financing, German aerospace startup High Impulse booked 45 million euros in venture capital and subsidies in late 2025. The Southwest German firm, which specializes in hybrid drives, says it plans to use the money to send a rocket into orbit by 2027. High Impulse carried out a successful suborbital test flight in Australia in 2024. Bavarian firms ESA Aerospace and rocket factory Augsburg are also jockeying to become the first private German company to send a rocket into space. Okay, back on terra firma. Let's meet Martin Porlak, Managing Director of Planet Labs Germany, overseeing operations across Europe, the Middle East and Africa. Welcome, Martin. Tell us, what is Planet Labs? What do you do?
So in very simple terms, our mission is to track change on Earth. We operate the largest fleet of Earth observation satellites ever built in human history. And with our constellation of satellites, we image the entire landmass of the Earth every day. And that enables to make change visible, actionable, and accessible for users.
When you talk about users, who exactly do you mean?
The possible spectrum of users is extremely wide. So it spans from sustainable agriculture. And, you know, that means farmers can better understand what is happening on their fields. So, you know, they can manage the fields more effectively. While at the same time, governments in Europe, for example, who provide subsidy for farmers, they can measure what's being done on the fields and basically do subsidy control. Yeah? Another set of use cases has to do with land management and land use. So we understand how land is being used, how well land is protected, what the biodiversity is on land, for example, right? But it also spans into water. For example, in freshwater bodies, we can measure the water quality, but also things like erosion of water bodies and so on, the turbidity, meaning how clear is the water, partially even the water temperature can be detected from Earth observation data that we produce. But then also defense and security, national security. So some of our largest customers, they use our data for situational awareness over very large areas to understand what arms are being produced and how much activity is going on certain, let's say, airfields or military bases.
So you can measure water quality from space. Fascinating. Could you give us a specific example?
In 2021, the Brazilian government decided to implement a system that would monitor environmental crimes in the Amazon basin on a daily basis in almost real time. Illegal deforestation, illegal mining, and other environmentally questionable activities on the ground. And the successes of that system have been tremendous. So Polícia Federal says that they were able to crack down on illegal deforestation by 55% within just the first 2 years.
Gathering data is one thing. Understanding it is another. How essential has AI become in your work?
So AI is an absolute game changer for the use of Earth observation data, and specifically our Earth observation data. With the advent of AI and the incredible increase in compute power available, what could be done previously by one analyst in one day can now be done by algorithms within seconds. So it opens totally new world for Earth observation altogether. Our vision for the future is what we call the queryable Earth, meaning that analysts or people who use our data, they don't look at the images anymore, but they ask questions similar to, you know, questions you would ask in Google, and the systems, the algorithms, they would return you the answers they have extracted automatically in almost real time from our imagery.
Planet Labs is undertaking an eight-figure expansion in Berlin, opening a new satellite manufacturing facility and strengthening partnerships with local research institutions and government programs. Why did you decide to invest and grow in Germany?
In the future, in the near future, we will build satellites here in Berlin. And this has been driven by local demand combined with talent we find here. So we think that the conditions for expanding our operations and building satellites here in Berlin are very favorable, actually, here in Germany and in Berlin. We have always had a focus on Europe. 40% of our staff globally is based in the EU, and we have four different offices throughout Europe already. The recently announced expansion of our manufacturing in Europe, that is just a logical step as we build more satellites and so on, that we do this here in Europe to fulfill local demand.
How can the public and private sectors best work together to accelerate innovation? What's your view?
Especially Germany has a unprecedented ecosystem of public and semi-public research institutions, and many of them have been long-term users of our data sets already. We think that science should always try to leverage data sets available as opposed to trying to replicate. And I think there is definitely room for improvement. Above and beyond, I think there is more room to grow, to cooperate on the use of our data, especially as it pertains to climate action, to biodiversity topics, to managing natural resources, and so on, right? So it's a huge potential we're on a good way. Number two, also in the procurement mechanisms, we have already a contract with the German government that provides virtually unlimited access to our data over Germany to institutions of the German federal government. So it's one contract that gives hundreds of different institutions in Germany access to our data. I think that could be used as a blueprint how to efficiently and effectively disseminate data that exists already to different end users.
What opportunities do you see for smaller startups?
I think it is easy for startups to enter the space economy. Startups that have an idea for solving a real-world problem, most of them start with free data that is available from the European Commission, for example, or from ESA, right? Then there are many different programs, including from Planet, that allow with very low hurdles to obtain also commercial data for trying out or for research and development and so on, right? And then there are different funding vehicles to support startups and so on. So I think that the hurdles are quite low to try out things and then to basically test and convince investors to invest into new ideas.
Speaking of support, that's exactly what we do at GTAI. We work together on your Berlin expansion.
I would like to explicitly thank GTAI, who has supported us in the process of the planning of our manufacturing expansion here in Germany. So thank you very much, GTAI.
It was a pleasure, Martin. Now we're off to Munich to look at the Exploration Company, a startup developing reusable spacecraft. Viktor Meyer is leading the German and Central European business at the Exploration Company. Viktor, your mission is to build a globally cooperative future in space. Tell us more.
So the vision is, I think, simple, but it's also very ambitious. So we want to make space more accessible, more sustainable, and more cooperative. So what we believe in and what we really fight for is that Europe needs its own independent, reusable transportation systems, and not just for cargo, but also ideally, eventually for human spaceflight, and then also in orbit operations. And especially right now, in this geopolitical environment we're living in, all the space technology that is developed has a huge, and the keyword is your dual use application, which means that here is a big potential also to develop technology that is for our security and for our own sovereignty of space technology, very, very important in Europe. And cooperative future, what does this actually mean? So it's working on the one hand with governments, but also with commercial partners. We're enabling scientific, medical, and also industrial applications in space. And we're building systems that integrate into the international space stations, but also into the future commercial space stations. So the space station is going to retire in 2030. There will be other commercial space stations coming. And we want to be able to connect actually to all the various stations that are planned around low Earth orbit and also for the future lunar missions.
As you've just mentioned, European sovereignty is becoming increasingly important in the space economy.
There's a race towards space, there's a race towards the low Earth orbit, but also towards the moon. And us as Europeans, we really have to be careful, because what we observe right now on the market is that we are currently bypassed by the other nations. If you think about India or Japan, they already now managed to have reusable launchers. And reusability is a big, big topic, because with this, you can actually increase your competitiveness. You can become cheaper. And if you look at Ariane 6, for example, our European launcher, it's a one usage vehicle. So you bring it up into orbit, but then you throw it away because you cannot reuse it. And then you have to build a new rocket. And this makes it, of course, takes a lot of time to get there and costs a lot of money, right? And so for us, this accessibility to space is very, very limited. And I'm not saying that we need to be nationalistic in Europe, but it's, I think, also for the strength of Europe, very important to have own capabilities, to be a strong partner also for our allies that maybe, you know, also be attacked, and then they need us to help them, right? And I think this is the way we need to see this, and also this shift of mindset.
You mentioned reusability being a major issue because it reduces production costs. I guess it's also about sustainability.
We believe that the future of space transportation is about reusability. It's about using non-toxic propellants. We're speaking here about green propellants and also circular. We're actually developing it already with the mindset to use non-toxic propellants. So we're developing these engines and these thrusters completely in-house because it's a technology that is not existing in Europe in that way. You're usually today using hydrazine. It's a well-known technology. It's a well-known propellant. And it's something, you know, you can get cheap. But the problem is it's toxic not only for environment, but also for people. And then, you know, you have difficulties, issues, how to store it, how to handle it also on the launch pad. And so this is something that we would like to get rid of because for every industry, it has become also kind of a scalable nature. I mean, you don't have a plane that you just use once. You don't have a car that you just use once. You want to recharge it, refuel it. And why should it be different for space, right? And the vehicle that we're developing and building, it's highly reusable. The heat shield that we're using, it's a heat shield that we develop completely and produce completely in-house. And it's not ceramics. It's actually a so-called ablative material. We can actually take it off and we can bring on new tiles and then actually very quickly go back to space. We don't have to rebuild again the full structure. We don't have to rebuild the full tanks, the onboard computer. So everything, the whole technology inside stays safe and we can reuse it.
Lower costs, less environmental footprint, shorter production times, all essential steps toward making space more accessible.
Space is not only for space, it's really for the people here on Earth. A lot of people would ask, hey, why do we put so much money into space? But I think it's a real benefit for the people here on Earth. Think about how often you use your navigation system with your phone or with your car, how often you communicate via satellites just by doing bank transfers and these kind of things. You can really see that there is now a movement happening from the government side and also from the institution side, where they're shifting their mindsets. Going from the traditional space mindset that they're now starting to go into more a commercial space mindset, as we call it, like to public-private partnership. But this is a model that we have really pushed a lot at the exploration company here in Europe. What we are proposing is going to a service contract, which means we as a company, we have already commercial customers, we have also private investors, and we're offering already a service. In our case, it's going towards the space station and bringing cargo to the station and also to commercial stations and bringing it back down. So kind of a DHL delivery service, you could say, from Earth to space. And we provide the service. It costs 150 million euro and you pay it and then you get the service. And this is a different approach because now we sign first contracts with, for example, the European Space Agency. They have signed a contract with us to do this service. They say, I buy your service. You take care about, you know, making sure that it works. And this is up to us. And as we have also the private investors on our side, they, of course, want to see that we make it happen on time, on quality, on cost. So we have on this side this pressure to be also on time. And this makes it very dynamic. Also, the German Space Agency, they bought the service to fly several science experiments to the space station. It's a very good sign to see that the agencies are now changing here their mindset.
Last November, the European Space Agency held its ministerial council in Bremen, which is another of Germany's space hotspots. The European member states committed a record 22 billion euros for ESA programs over the next 3 years, a clear political signal. Germany alone is pitching in more than 5 billion euros, making it the largest single contributor.
I mean, you see it with the announcement of Boris Pistorius, our Minister of Defense, who said we're going to put 35 billion into defense for space systems out of Germany for Europe and for our NATO obligations to be also a strong partner. Space hardware per se is an expensive topic, right? If you just look at our Nix capsule, for example, only to develop the vehicle, we're currently calculating 450 million euro as development costs. And this, of course, we need to get on the one hand from the private investment and also from customer contracts or public investment.
How important is a European investor base for you, both financially and strategically?
It's not only about some satellites that you put in orbit. In the end, it's a very strategic topic. And Europe needs European companies backed by European capital, I would say it like this, to secure long-term autonomy. And our investors, they include major European funds. And this creates, of course, long-term stability
the alignment also with European strategic interests and the credibility when it comes to partnering with agencies like the European Space Agency, the German Space Agency, or the European Commission. The message it sends when you have European investors is very clear that also Europe believes in building its own capabilities for spaceflight, for cargo, for in-orbit operations. And I think this is also very important.
You have a Franco-German background and just recently have expanded your industrial presence in Germany, including new headquarters near Orbach-Pfaffenhofen and the acquisition of the additive manufacturing specialist Thrustworks. How do you see your activities here evolving in the coming years?
I think Germany, for sure, is one of the most attractive countries in Europe for several reasons. The strengths are definitely this world-class engineering talent, especially when it comes to software development, guidance, navigation, control, where it's about simulation, manufacturing. So, you know, the whole assembly, the integration, the testing that we need. We really have a very good ecosystem of universities here in Germany. You have an unbelievably strong industrial base. If you think about automotive industry, you know, if you think of serial production, this is really like competencies that we need in the future for space as well. And who is not better equipped than the automotive industry, knowing exactly how this works? Robotics, Germany is unbelievably good in robotics. Also when it comes to aviation and materials, so there's a big industrial base and ecosystem here where we can transfer this knowledge very well into the new space ecosystem.
The space industry is becoming increasingly commercial. What will the market look like in the next decade?
I think it will be defined by three major shifts. So on the one hand, the commercial space stations that I already addressed. So in 2030, maybe 2031, the ISS is going to retire. And then you will have commercial stations that will be around the low Earth orbit. This will mean that we will need in Europe our own access. So that's why we are right now building this vehicle. And then you will see the companies, the industries that I mentioned to you before, they will have actually an affordable and an available access towards this new environment. The other major shift I see is within orbit operations. So right now, already the agencies and also the governments are interested in how to refuel satellites, how to perform inspection of satellites if something is like broken because of space debris. How can we then service a satellite or a station even, and how can we even manufacture in space? And then I think the third major shift that we're going to observe is the lunar economy. And Europe cannot, you know, afford to be just a follower or to be a passenger. We need to really be able to be like a leading player here. And in this case, space, I would say, is not just longer a scientific domain for Europe. It really becomes now also a commercial and economic domain. And it will create new jobs, you know, it will create new competences, new talents that we have here in Europe. And it will unleash really huge potential. And I hope that society is actually seeing this this benefit and will understand it.
That's a great vision to wrap up our discussion with. Thank you, Victor, for sharing your perspective and the exploration company's plans. Much obliged as well to Martin Polak from Planet Labs and Anke Pagels Kerp from the DLR. As usual, before we end, we'll have a look at how Germany works. So, as we've been hearing, there is a lot of state support in Germany for the new space sector. Let's unpack it. Under the current government, space is subsumed under the Ministry for Research and Technology. But the Ministry for Economic Affairs and Energy also plays a huge role. The heads of both were present when Planet Labs announced its Berlin expansion in 2025, and the head of the Defense Ministry also attended the Space Industry Trade Fair, where the announcement took place. Then there's the DLR, which is mirrored on the EU level and cooperates closely with corresponding agencies in neighboring countries, first and foremost France. Finally, there are a host of state initiatives and programs to stimulate new space startups and innovation. As a result, international businesses have no shortage of potential partners at the heart of Europe. And that's how Germany works. There you have it. Expanding to Europe's largest market could be just the thing to help your aerospace company really take off. And Germany Trade and Invest can advise you and help you on your way, all at no cost because we're a government agency. Let's talk space at gtai.com. We're also keen on your opinions, suggestions and questions. Please leave a comment in your favourite podcast app or drop us a line. You'll find all the details in our show notes. So, thanks for listening. Auf Wiederhören. Keep your eyes on the stars. And remember, Germany means business.